You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my gun.
Took it in the guts, Barry.
Far away from my...
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
Good morning, Annie here for Showreel, 3CR's Look at Australian Film. Today I'm chatting with James Woods. He's a filmmaker with many skills. He's the writer, director, cinematographer and editor of his first feature, The Birthday Trip. It's a finely tuned satire that is in select cinemas in the coming months.
This is your first feature, but you've been working on films for a while. So tell us a little bit about your background in film.
Yeah, so my background goes back to the YouTube world. But as far as film...
Now tell me about YouTube first. Tell me about that. What's that entail?
Well, a friend and I who used to make camcorder home videos at one point in like 2009-10, when YouTube was starting to blow up as the, you know, when the 2-minute viral video was the gold standard, we thought we got to do this, like we got to get on this train, and we started making sketches and political satire and gaming comedy and just whatever crazy weird ideas we had. But I guess we took it quite seriously, and we slowly like honed our like some sort of voice, and we were like, yeah, I guess creating dramatic beats and making edits work with joke timing. And so we really cut our teeth in that world.
Did you start a channel?
We had a channel called, yeah, it was called Stunt Bear. And we did, yeah, like Aussie political satire and sketches, and had quite a few like viral videos, which kind of kept us like on the hook. We're like, okay, we need to do more. Yeah, so that was the kind of first like the beginnings of my like wanting to make screen stuff. And then yeah, I guess I wanted to rationalize that in a more professional way, so made my first short film with a bunch of friends, and then got into afters in their master's course, and then I met my co-producer and now wife, Stephanie Jane Day, who produced this film, and we made a bunch of short films together. And then finally with this film, we've made the jump to long form. So yeah, lots of YouTube and short films and lots of experimentation before we were like, okay, let's try the big fish, the 90-minute drama. Can we do it?
This is a long form version, really, of a satire, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. 100%. I think, like, looking back at my YouTube work or my work throughout my career, it does all have a similar kind of voice. Like, it's that irreverent, satirical kind of bent, and it's a little bit scathing, maybe. And while a YouTube video is a very different format and level of engagement to a feature film, yeah, there is still that kind of voice. And I think it's, which I think is important. I mean, especially in a film that tells the story of some privileged couples at a 6-star bougie farm stay, I was like, well, you can't be on their side because the audience doesn't want to see that. You've got to be, I guess, laughing at them, or like, yeah, in attention with them.
So you wrote it, and I did go and see the film, and I heard your Q&A, and you said that you wrote it in a month. That's about right, isn't it?
Yeah, the script was, yes, 16 or 17, four-day weeks.
Yeah.
But yes, a month. The characters and ideas are sort of built up over a long time. But as far as the act of writing it, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Because you've obviously got something you want to actually critique about society. And the characters are around your age. So these are people that you have probably met in a sense, or you've developed them out of characters that you've met in real life.
Yeah, 100%. It all comes from a real place. And then, you know, things get chopped and screwed because of structure or whatever the case may be. You change someone's arc because something else like needs to happen in the plot. But yes, it all comes from a real place. I mean, I wanted it to feel real. I think a frustration for me, I was going to say my generation, but just for me, maybe others, is often Aussie screen stories don't always reflect us authentically, like at least my upper middle class millennial set, whatever that is, the Sydney wankers, I don't know, Sydney arts people. We often don't see like a version of naturalism that that I guess I align with, and so I wanted to make something that was that felt real and authentic, and dialogue that sings, and people that talk about minutiae and get things wrong and exist at cross purposes. And yeah, I think that I mean, you see it on screens, of course, but it's maybe less common than a, I don't know, a Marvel film or whatever it may be.
The thing is that the people, like the actors, you've got a very good crew of actors that, like, they actually make the dialogue and the interactions quite believable, as well as the fact that the dialogue itself is actually realistic in a sense. Like, you're good at dialogue, and dialogue's not that easy to do.
Well, yeah, no, you're so right. The cast are incredible. I think it's one of the finest casts in Australian cinema. Obviously, I'm very biased, but yeah, incredible actors who all have amazing chops, and like the way they can naturalize and make dialogue feel real. I mean, the dialogue is strong on the page, I would like to think, but then watching these actors, yeah, bring it to life. It's like, whoa, like the beats they build into it, or the rhythm, or the pauses, or a flourish or improv that they'll like wrap around it is like, yeah, it's really incredible. Like I guess we didn't compromise with casting. Two of the leads we didn't have in the cast until I think 2 days before rehearsals and 5 days before we were shooting. So for a while there, we were like, this film could fall over if we don't get the right actors. And we luckily did, but yeah, they are quite an incredible bunch.
How long was the shoot in fact?
It was 15 days and then a few pickups, but yes, 15 days, 15 full days.
Yeah. So it was that, but also, I mean, that's demanding for a first time, effort, but it's actually not a long time. So that means that you scheduled it very tightly and your performers were really quite tight. Tell me about the rehearsal phase that got you to that stage.
Yeah, well, we had 2 days of rehearsals, which were great. I feel like we could have done more. Not that they needed it, but I felt like we just started to scratch the surface in 2 days. But then I guess we found the depth of everything on the day on set.
What did you demand of them? What did you do? What was your format? Some people do, for people to get into the roles, you know, they often, some people have methodologies around, like Sophie Hyde does this whole thing where they become much more sort of in touch with each other as people. But do you have something that you do or that you demanded of your actors?
No, I think for me it's more about casting. Like I feel like
you think that they're actors, they should be able to know what they're doing. You give them control to a certain degree.
To a certain degree. Like I think
that's a method.
No, totally. I think we cast like the right people for each of these characters. And then once we got on set, it already felt good in the first take, I suppose. So it was like the direction would usually just be like, yeah, let's try it a little faster, or I'd give them a verb, or like, okay, I want you to punish him a bit more, or whatever it may be. Little notes like that, but it was always a little tonal tweak. It was never anything, extensive, because I feel like the script and the casting maybe did more legwork than the directing on the day. That was just more like making sure it stayed in the right place, and then coming in and changing the pace or the tone if need be. I guess the one thing we enforced was we shot sequentially,
Oh, interesting.
so I wanted it to basically play out as the weekend does, and you can really, if you on a second viewing, like you can feel the nervous energy at the start, and the groups, the couples are still like finding their feet as in the social dynamic. And that's true to, going away on a weekend away like this. But you can really feel like once you get to the winery at the end, it's like, oh, it's all popping and gelling now. But yeah, that's also, so we wanted to, I guess, imbue the film with the same realism of just meeting these people. So yeah, shooting sequentially was the one thing that we kind of enforced as like a that's how we'll ensure that it feels real.
That's an interesting thing to do. The other thing is the camera person who was the the images that you were able to gather, as well as like the sequence where they're all painting and stuff. Like there's that you have a certain drama going on with the actual camera itself and how the camera operates. So you've obviously got theories, or did you develop that with the camera person, or did you already have a view to that because of all that other work you'd already done in the YouTube period?
So I shot it,
Oh, you shot it.
and
Okay. Yeah.
yeah,
So you knew what you
so
wanted.
I yeah, absolutely. I think like I guess my philosophy is I like the voice of the creator to be present in the fabric of the image. And like I think that's important, but I also think like it's more immersive, more realistic, when you've got the camera like catching up to the scenes. Like the scenes are happening, whether you like it or not, dear viewer. And the camera's just like, oh shit, okay, we'll pan over there. Let's rack focus that. It's like, I guess it's like a version of documentary coverage. But I just feel like, well, two things. I think it's more realistic, but it also it's kind of a challenge. It's like a filmmaking challenge. It's like if you can degrade your aesthetic this much and the story and characters and beats still work, then you've got good story and character and actors and moments.
And
Like you can't really,
it's quite thrilling for you.
yeah, totally, because you can't rely on like a beautiful Alexa image or a Roger Deakins push in, which no shade for that sort of approach. It's beautiful, but yeah, when you can't rely on that, it's like, well, you need to make sure that your dramaturgy is as strong as it can be.
And so obviously that plays out in the edit as well, because it's quite dynamic, the edit.
Yeah, so the handheld camera really informs that, because it is easier to cut that sort of footage, because when you're cutting on motion, cut points just work better, they're less violent. So that kind of informed that. But yeah, the edit is very, I guess one thing I tried to avoid, this was a hard and fast rule with the edit, I really wanted to avoid just cutting on dialogue, just because that just felt like too obvious.
And also,
So I
you're
had,
in love with dialogue. I mean, that's what you—that's one of your actual things, isn't it?
right, yeah, 100%.
100%.
100%. And so yeah, I basically I tried to stay where the subtext was as far as camera. And if that meant we stayed on this person for, you know, half a minute, fine. That's fine. Yeah, so I tried to make the edit, I guess. It is pacey and snappy, but I tried to make it less less conventional or less didactic.
We know you love listening to 3CR, but we also know that many of you haven't downloaded the Community Radio Plus app yet.
The app lets you tune in anywhere and share the station with your friends.
So, show the love and share the love and search Community Radio Plus wherever you get your apps.
Hi, I'm Judith Ehrlich. I'm the director of the film, The Voice Who Said No, Draft Resistance in the Vietnam War. I'm really pleased to be here on 3CR. I'm an old listener-sponsored radio producer myself and worked at the first listener-sponsored station in the world, KTSA Berkeley, part of the Pacifica Network. So good work. Keep it up. Thanks.
You're with Annie on Showreel, and we are in the middle of a conversation with all-round filmmaker James Woods about his first feature, The Birthday Trip.
Do you have people that you emulate or not emulate but are inspired by?
No, I love the dogma filmmakers, like Thomas Vinterberg, for example, who made Festen. I love that style of filmmaking. What else? Steven Soderbergh is an inspiration, the way that he can apply his skills to different story worlds. But I guess I like directors that shoot their own work or have a loud kind of authorial voice. I'm thinking of The Sweet East. I forget the director's name. Is it Sean William Scott? Another director who shoots. But yeah, I guess I like the punk spirit of, I also like the juxtaposition of like this bougie farm stay, six star luxury, whatever, but then filming that in a way that is kind of cheap and lo-fi. I think that's the immersion, but I think it's also
it's a
really
reflection,
interesting...
isn't it? It's a juxtaposition.
Exactly.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. Have you actually met people like the corporates that turn up?
I have, yeah. I have. I've worked in advertising, directing commercials for 5 or 6 years after my YouTube world jaunt, and worked with a lot of amazing, incredible people. I will say that first, but yes, I've definitely worked with those people as well. Obviously, they're heightened versions, but yeah, 100%. I've met people who talk that way and who behave in that kind of insidious fashion, with a smile on their face,
and destroy language effortlessly.
Yes. Exactly. We gotta retain the sanctity of nouns and verbs and adjectives. But they are certainly heightened. I think the heightened thing in that scene, or with the marketing types who come to the farm stay, is it that probably would have been an email or like a webinar in reality. But I was like, well, I want to have people in front of camera. So maybe that was the heightened element.
I think it was the heightened element. I was thinking that it was pretty amazing that they would have turned up, because they're such creepy types, but they don't know they're creepy types.
right, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, it does its stuff. How do the how has everybody reacted who was part of the shoot? Because I should imagine they would have liked the results, because it really showcases their talents.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a film that takes, like, it has to win you over. I think it takes some time maybe to win you over, because it's not obvious from the first scene what it's trying to do, maybe. So I think there was, the cast were all very invested and absolutely incredible. But I think more broadly cast and crew. There were certainly people who weren't sure what it was, or like, is this good, or what's going on? And yeah, it's been a long road of like pulling the edit together, making sure the performances are in the right place. The color grade was a big element. The sound mix, which was nominated for an ASSG award, but I think the sound does a huge amount of heavy lifting, because obviously that rat bag camera, if you got bad audio, then you've just got nothing. But with that beautiful like surround sound world, it kind of legitimizes it, and
it seduces you.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
So,
and you do a couple of things that's interesting, because you first off, at some points, you kind of set up a feeling that it's going to turn into a horror movie. That sequence where he was badly chopping wood, because I used to live in the bush, I know how to chop wood, and I was watching it.
Right.
That's so weird. Like, this guy.
Yeah, because he keeps pulling it back from the.
And you set up a couple of false trails, which I thought was very clever of you.
Yeah, well, that moment is that's very good feedback. Thank you. I will I'll pass that on. That's my bad. I guess we've never seen wood properly chopped before. But it was definitely an intentional red herring. Like, I guess I wanted the characters. Yeah, he's angry for good reason, or he's frustrated for good reason. But I guess I wanted the characters to be kind of judging him a bit.
Yeah.
And then kind of play with the audience's like orientation.
Because of course that is one of the things that you're doing. The audience is constantly on the hook as well. That's the cleverness of the film, really. You've got us all on the hook.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I do want it to challenge people. And I think that back to you brought up the satire thing. Like, I think I did want to make sure that the characters also felt very real, and their arcs were treated with reverence. And like, so I didn't treat them as like, you know, jokes or vehicles for satire. And I think that's the interesting thing. Like, I think that is the thing that makes it challenging, because you get immersed and you're like, oh cool, I'm empathizing with these characters, but also they're objectively like saying and doing horrible things. So yeah, there's kind of like a push and pull with the audience. It's like, hey, well, you're in this scene, but also this is a bad person who you've just seen, you know, whatever, say something heinous.
They've given me the wind up, but I'll just quickly, what's happening to the film? Where's the film going?
We're releasing on July 30th.
Yep.
You're in Melbourne, is that
right?
Yeah,
I'm in Melbourne.
We are screening at Thornbury Picture House, Eclipse Cinema, Sorrento Cinema. I think that's all. Maybe there's another one. But there's quite a few cinemas in Melbourne where we'll be screening. The Pivotonian, so not Melbourne, but down the road.
Yeah,
we're screening for a week or two. So we're out in cinemas around the country, and it's very daunting and exciting. People seem to be connecting with the film. So it's, I don't know, it's exciting to
good luck
to see it out there.
Yeah, betcha. Thank you very much. For talking to you.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Very nice to meet you.
You too.
That's it for Showreel this week. Coming up next is Published or Not.
Swan, I think you might know this song. This one, Get Me Out of the City. Yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.